Standing on the crest of a gentle hill was an old ramshackle barn. The sides were splintery gray wood, every touch of paint scrubbed off by the long winters. The structure looked basically intact, and certainly was a lot better than trying to have a gun battle in the middle of an open field. With no real choice in the matter, Ryan changed direction away from the slope and charged back up the hill. The companions spent precious seconds circling the barn to make sure that it had four good sides and wasn't currently in use by anything. Thankfully, it seemed intact and abandoned. Staying outside, Ryan guarded the entrance while the others dashed inside. Then he joined them, and JB slammed the door shut. Glancing around, Ryan saw that they could have done much worse. There were ventilation spaces in all of the walls, just like any proper barn, but the wood looked solid, not riddled with worms or termites. There were rusty outlines of some tools along a wall, and the skeleton of a large, six-legged cow in a stall.
Ricky, guard the door. Everyone else, into the hayloft.
Grabbing their saddlebags of spare ammunition, the rest of the companions began scrambling up an aluminum ladder to the second story.
Clear!
What should I use for cover?
With an expression as cold as stone, Ryan turned and shot his horse directly in the heart. The animal bucked in surprise and then limply fell back on the frosty ground.
Use that.
The rest of the companions had already spread out across the hayloft, taking positions behind anything serviceable as cover.
Clear!
And here they come.
Charging up the hill, the motorcycles immediately spread out at the first sign of the barn. Zigzagging across the snow, they disappeared into the forest. Then from the other side, the pack of wolves converged on the barn door, pawing and scratching at the old wood, trying to find a way inside.
Eat this, you cold chiller!
Outside, a wolf dropped in the snow, surrounded by a rapidly spreading pool of blood. A moment later, there came a flurry of machine gun fire, and the barn door rattled from the impact of a lot of incoming lead. Hunkering low behind the warm horse, Ricky flinched every time it jerked at the arrival of a bullet. Ryan knelt behind a wooden post to check the magazine and the stire, then sidled over to the windows. The slats in the louvered shutters were slanted down as protection from the rain, which offered him a perfect view of the area outside the barn. There came the sound of a revving engine, and a big Harley Davidson exploded from the bushes, charging straight for the barn door. Ryan aimed and fired in a single movement. The fat driver of the bike dropped away, both hands wrapped tightly around the ruin of his throat. Immediately, the front wheel veered, and the bike flipped over to crash on the snow. Ryan put a hole through the bike's fuel tank, and another through the dashboard. Sparks flew, and a stream of shine caught fire. In only a few seconds, the entire machine was engulfed in licking flames, a thick column of black smoke rising high. The wolves moved away, only to try to gain entrance on another side of the ramshackle building, and then another.
Any second now!
Outside the barn, the saddlebags of the burning motorcycle jumped as a round of spare ammunition ignited from the heat of the flames. Another cartridge cooked off, as did several others. Then the pipe bombs and the saddlebags detonated. The motorcycle disintegrated, ragged chunks of metal flying out in a wild corona. Stumbling from the bushes, Baron Rushmore was holding the tattered stump of his left arm, a torrent of hot blood pumping from the ghastly wound.
I could save him.
Now, their thanks for doing that would be to cut your throat.
Nodding and understanding, Mildred sagged slightly, then straightened and hurried to the window. Several of the Little Eden Sectmen were rushing to the aid of the fallen Baron, a burly woman yanking off a dirty neckerchief to use as a tourniquet. With surgical precision, as if she were removing a malignant tumor, Mildred drew the ZKR and shot each of them in the stomach. Rushmore struggled to reach the burning bike, his bloody arm desperately stretching for the flames to cauterize the ragged stump. But halfway there, he simply lay in the snow and went still, his last breath visible in the cold air for a few seconds before it faded away.
Sometimes you scare me, Dr. Wyeth.
Mildred said nothing, her thoughts on the matter deeply private. Something hit the far side of the barn, and that spot burst into flames.
Knock all that out, Lander!
Molotovs. I was worried they might be smart enough to think of those.
If anybody has a good idea, now's the time to start talking.
Give me a second.
Rushing to a window, Jack checked outside. There were bodies and debris everywhere, but directly behind the barn was a smooth vista of pristine snow, aside from a few footprints and tire tracks. The ground sharply angled away in a steep incline, and there was nothing to use as cover for a mile, just flat, smooth snow. It would be suicide for them to try to get away on that side. The Sectman would bust a gut laughing at how easy it would be killing the companions as they waddled through the deep snow.
If you're thinking what I think you are...
You got that idea. Tell me now.
Jack grabbed the plywood gate from the stable. Laying the smooth side on the ground, he added two gates more on top. Lynn started looking around the barn. Bryant's whistle caught his attention, and the one-eyed man tossed over a coil of rope. Jack made the catch and began lashing the three sheets together.
Are you insane?
They never expect this.
Jack vigorously rubbed a candle across the plywood.
You got that nuking right.
Madness is often the best defense.
Doc hobbled down from the hayloft to help with the work. Together, the two men quickly coated the top sheet of wood with a thick layer of candle wax, and then Doc liberally used an entire can of precious gun oil. Flipping the makeshift sled over, they started piling on the saddlebags. Two more Molotovs crashed onto the barn, the fire quickly spreading across the oak wood.
Wish we had time to make rails.
And I wish we had a fully loaded 20th century Apache gunship.
Every side of the barn was ablaze now, the air thick with smoke, and the rest of the companions came down from the hayloft to help with the work.
We'll only get one chance at this.
That's all we need.
Jack bent down to push the sled. Amazingly, it moved rather smoothly across the frozen dirt.
Any grins? One. You?
The same.
Good enough.
Taking positions behind the pile of saddlebags, Ryan and JB primed the grins and gently tossed them across the barn. The spheres landed in the dirt, directly at the base of the burning rear wall.
Time to die, Outlander!
A few seconds later, the entire barn rattled, splintery planks flying outward. Even before the smoke cleared, the companions looked up and the rear wall was gone, broken planks still flying through the air.
One, two, three.
Putting their backs to the task, they shoved the crude sled across the floor and out of the barn onto the smooth snow. As it started to build speed, they dived on board, grabbing onto the looped ropes. They braced for the sled to come apart or stop moving or start spinning helplessly around, but it kept moving, slowly increasing in speed until the barn was 100 feet away, then 200.
Gaia, it works!
Sayonara, suckers!
The replies from the Sekhmen were lost in the distance, but they seemed to be holding their sides and laughing.
Why were they laughing?
Flip!
Everyone tried to see, and a split second later, the sled was airborne. The companions got the stomach-tingling sensation of uncontrolled flight. Then the sled started to angle downward.
There's a lake!
Is it frozen?
No!
Relax your muscles. We'll break fewer bones.
Fewer?
Get ready! And jump!